Well, just before we get going, on behalf of the organization, we wanted to offer our condolences, thoughts, and prayers to everyone affected yesterday in Ottawa in that tragedy. And just as an update, because I'm probably going to get asked, it's 2 weeks. So Evander Kane's progressing quite well to the point that we have an expectation here in the next few days that he'll be back on IR skates, is what we call them, but non-main group skates, so nobody runs into a guy, but he'll be back on the ice, we think, sometime this week. And then after that, it's as much about strength and healing time and things like that, so it's kind of positive news with him.
Paul, I've got two for you. Number one, the day off yesterday coupled with a win, it looked like practice was very upbeat today and guys were having fun. I mean, did you sense that as well? And can both those two things result in a practice that just looks like there's a lot more fun being had?
Well, there's more going on than just, it's all part of our last week. So yeah, so it's a different, slightly, a lighter mood after a win, and you like to enjoy that. But that's something we are actually specifically working on. So having the communication, the connection on the ice, every year it's a new team, right? I know a lot of these guys have played together, but you have new people, you have new expectations, you have all this coming in. So you have to reestablish those bonds. We should be able to find some joy in the work. If you're working as hard as you can, if you're competing and you're focused on your events, then every practice and every game can't be spitting nails, you know what I mean? You've got to be able to enjoy it and work really hard. So we're not going out there and saying, hey, let's have fun today. It's let's enjoy working really hard in these three areas and make sure there's a lot of talk on the ice. So let's try to fight our way through being a quiet team.
In terms of consistency, the three young guys have been there for you to start the year, and I'm just wondering about what that says about the impact they're making this year for your squad.
Yep.
And the impact that they will make going forward. I know you don't have a crystal ball, but boy, the seeds are there.
Two really young centermen, both with good size, different styles of skill sets, but both of them have a real good understanding of the game. So you're not in a teaching curve for 2 or 3 years. They get this stuff pretty quick. Scheif has some certain offensive creativity, and Adam has clearly he's got a real smart defensive grasp of the game. And I think with that, Jake, for me, is the guy. I think Scheif's been good and been pretty even. Lowry's been exactly what you'd hope maybe and expected. Take a few games. I think he's been really good the last two games at center. But Jacob Trouba, his last two games, he's not, for me, just back to where he was last year. He's starting to look stronger on the ice. So those three guys are key pieces. So we're saying, you know, we're young and but those guys are part of our team driving. When I write them down, two of them anyway, the guys who've put a full year in the NHL, and when their names are going down, they're going down and kind of in the same mindset as Little and Ladd and these other guys. Like they're all in that same group for me.
Coach, what will Tuesday's win do for your game tomorrow night and your psyche for tomorrow night?
Well, I was just to say, it's going to do a little bit for everything, right? But sitting there after the game, and you're happy, but you're not. There's no parades. We won one game, but that doesn't mean the difference between how you would have been feeling had you lost wouldn't have been just as great. So it means you don't have to deal with the other things that you deal with. We have to be able to rest our team, too. Well, they get their mandatory 4 days off. We've got nothing. We can't control that anyways. But you have to be able to rest your team. But they need a mental rest at times, even when, you know, when especially maybe more when things are going down. That's when you start to see injuries start piling up. So, and that was part of the day off on the day before. You know, we started to see some of the overuse injuries start to come in. And those things scare you because you've got to monitor those. So I think just hits the reset button for us a little bit. We'll go back out with our game plan, but I still will make, let me rephrase that. I'm still going to want that tension in the room before they go out, but a positive tension, maybe just a little bit more positive, a little bit more excitement, but there still has to be that same level of awareness that the puck's going to drop and that we need to be going right away.
What can you tell us about the absence of Anthony Peluso today?
I think you'd call it a minor upper body, and we'll see how he comes back tomorrow.
What are the specific challenges that the Lightning bring, especially with a guy like Stamkos in the lineup?
Well, he's a really good player, but it would be a mistake. He's not bad. You don't want to miss that quote. But the challenges then are some of the other players whose names you don't really see a lot. And I find, especially when you're in the West, you don't focus on those teams and get to know them quite well. And quite a bit of skill on their other lines, and their back end moves the puck really well. So you are not going to be successful against Tampa if it's just shutting down Steven Stamkos. If you're able to do that. Statistics say that you're not going to be able to do that. He gets enough points every year that nobody's going in with a, don't worry about Stamkos tonight, fellas. They're all going in with, we got to make sure he doesn't score, and he does. But we'll have as maybe not quite as difficult in terms of, but there's good players all around, is what I'm saying about this team. And they've maybe snuck up last year and surprised some people, but I think everybody now has an awareness. They move the puck really well. And there's a fair amount of motion in their game because they have the confidence with how they move the puck and the expertise and the excellence to do it. But staying out of the penalty box can be a big feature of that. He's dynamic, and then even when you're in the shooting lane late, he finds a way to get it off quicker or around you. And then there's just enough good players around them that there's more to that team than one player.
Paul, what do you know about Ben Bishop? He sort of, I don't want to say hasn't paid his dues, but he sort of came on the scene as a starting goalie and just went gangbusters. What challenges does he present as a goalie to your team?
So, I would be really honest about this. Like the goal, when I see him and watch the games that he played last year, he reminded me of Mike Smith in some ways when he was in Tampa. So Mike goes there, he's the kind of the backup goaltender a few years back, and he plays the last game of the season against us, and we lose that last game and miss the playoffs, and he was phenomenal, you know. And it was kind of like Mike was in the backup role until that was his jumping off point to become a starter, and all of a sudden now he's a great goaltender, right? So Bishop goes in there, kind of that big man, same idea, goes in there and stops a lot more pucks maybe than people thought he would, and also plays on a very good team. Other than after a certain body, he's big, he stops and all, he's more athletic than you would think a big man should be. Like, it's not just a blocker's game. He gets across that crease really well. I don't consider myself a goalie expert instead of how they get it done, but he reminds me a little of the, you know, Pekka-Rinne size, and then, but he's got some good speed coming across post to post.
Do you want more traffic in front of opposing goalies from your team, or is that go without saying, no matter how much traffic you get, you want more?
Yeah, I would like us. I think our traffic hasn't been too bad. The big one for us is getting the puck to the net. That's really where we've left a lot of our shot attempts have missed the net or been blocked. It's not all our defensemen, but just taking something off the shot to get it to the net, because whether that rebound goes in or the confusion that comes off that sets up the offensive play that gets the puck back to the net. If you're getting it blocked, you're really risking them going the other way on you. And we just got to get it through the net. So, I mean, we worked on it in practice. We're trying to make them aware about changing certain things when they get their eyes up. But our traffic's been pretty good. And the areas that we're getting shots from have been really good. I'd like to see a few of them go in.
Paul, it almost seems like you see more and more offensively minded or skilled players are playing on the penalty kill. You do it a little bit with Mark. Why do you think that is, from a coaching perspective, that you see, you know, guys like Mark Scheifele increasing their time and just overall around the league?
I think some of it has to do with fitness, all right? I go back when the hockey theory was your fourth line guys who were fairly rested and they'd block shots all over the place were the guys that killed penalties. They were kind of built like that, right? They were a really good face-off man and then maybe a tough guy, but those guys. And your top-end guys, you were going to play them a lot in offensive situations. I'm not sure that they could play at this pace in that condition, if that makes it. Your top-end guys are fit, and they want to get off that bench every third or fourth rotation. And if you get in, we have, where you get back-to-back two-minute minors, now your top-end guys are going, hang on, I've been sitting here for 5.5 minutes. And I think it seems to me that there's so many of your top-end guys now skate so well. There used to be some really skilled guys, and I'm sure there are, but they weren't great skaters, right? They were. There was a lot more room for the guy with good hands who wasn't a real good skater. Now all these top-end guys seem to be able to skate really well, which is, so they got the skill, and they skate well, and they're willing to block a shot. Those are the guys you want killing penalties. So you get them out for 20 or 30. They all like it. It keeps them in the rhythm of the game. They hate sitting a bench and then having to come out after 3 or 4 minutes. So, but also seems to make some sense. If you can roll four lines 5-on-5, why wouldn't you have your best players in the most important situations, special teams, you know, your best center iceman taking the draw, your best speed pushing the puck up the ice? I think the theory on it has changed by coaches too. So fitter athletes, and now the idea is why wouldn't you play your best penalty players on penalty kill?